on your part.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the On Track with Phil podcast. I'm JT Ayers, your host. And you know what? I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, but I just want to say, just go to ontrackandfield.com. They have high jump and pole vault landing systems now, and these things are selling out hotcakes. And the reason why I know they're selling is because the CEO also told me, and I just bought one. Yeah, I bought one for $23,000. It was huge, and it's 10 grand off. They're going to do the same thing for you. Their landing systems are unbelievable. Custom made. If you're in Southern California, free delivery, which I am, so I was happy with that. It's like Amazon Prime for the track world. So on trackandfield.com, you even can call them 1-800-697-2999. And without further ado, long and awaited, we've been trying to connect for a long time. And it was so determined because I really wanted to have a conversation with her. And that is the head coach at Michigan State. Go Green.
Go Green. That is, yes.
And that is, Lisa Bresna, Michigan State alum. She grew up in Michigan. We were connecting after podcast because I lived in Michigan for a little bit. I actually had to walk a mile uphill both ways in the snow. I'm sure she did something very similar because that's how the Michigan people do it. But in 2015, she was the USATF CCCA Great Lakes Women's Indoor Assistant Coach of the Year. And then in 2020, she became the Big Ten Women's Cross Country Coach of the Year. And in 2022, Big Ten Women's Cross Country Coach of the Year. Seems like every year she's going to be racking up some kind of accolade. It is so good to have you on the podcast. I know in 2021, you became the director of track and field and cross country. And I mean, that wasn't that long ago. So it's going to be really cool to hear about your journey. But coach, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And again, I'm super glad we got to connect. As you noted, it was a little bit of some time to get us, you know, on the same page for this interview. So I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, well, track coaches and cross country coaches are usually busy. And it's very interesting to me that cross country coaches at the, you know, NCAA collegiate level typically are also going to be track coaches. That's a for four teams that, and then that doesn't even count indoors. And you guys have to do a lot. Let me start with that. How does a head coach at the collegiate level hire people? Like, what does that process look like? And what do you even look for?
Yeah. And obviously, as you alluded to, fairly new as a director, was an associate head coach and assistant here at MSU. Before that, had a tiny stint at Purdue right out of college. So, I was really fortunate that I had a great mentor, Walt Drenth, who was actually my coach in college. And then I worked with him all throughout my time here, got to learn just so many things from him, more than I even realized I was learning. It wasn't until really later on, especially in that transition to becoming the director, where I realized, wow, I know a lot more than I thought I did. And it wasn't until being in those situations where I really had to put that knowledge to use, such as, you know, hiring. I've had to hire a few coaches over the years since becoming a director. And I think it's similar to recruiting. It's a lot about fit, that person's background, you know, where they've coached, what their culture has been like, what they believe about development. I think any place is a developmental place, but I certainly think Michigan State is a hugely developmental place, especially for the way that I want to kind of run our team and be mostly state and Midwest based with our student athletes. And so finding that fit, finding the coaches who believe in that model. And, you know, I want our staff to be stable. I want the communication and the relationships between our staff members to be really strong. So the fit within that as well, because that's all going to, you know, impact our student athletes as well.
Yeah. And growing up in Michigan, Michigan State had this kind of just this aura around it. Like, this is the blue collar kids. This is the hardworking group. This is the, you know, let's be frank, the not the polished, and we all hate Ann Arbor a little bit, right? So you went to Michigan State, you coach at Michigan State. Now you're the director of a national brand and a school. Who do you go and recruit with those kind of ideals in mind?
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head. Certainly recruiting within Michigan, trying to find those blue collar kids that you talked about. And they're everywhere, right? It's not just in our home state. They're in the Midwest. They're beyond the Midwest. But certainly the greatest connection is going to be here within Michigan, right? And so asking the right questions, becoming familiar with other coach, you know, high school coaches and club coaches here to find out what their model is. And a lot of times you can initially tell, you know, what type of kid someone is when you first meet them. I think our team does a great job in that recruiting process when we bring someone on campus of figuring out if it's a good fit or not. And so, yeah, I mean, we look everywhere, but really just it's hard to ignore the state of Michigan. You know, distance running is really strong here. All the events are actually really strong. You just have to get out and look for those kids. And same with the Midwest as well.
So how do you foster those personal relationships with your athletes or even your coaching staff?
Yeah, I think it takes time. It takes a bit of a leap of faith, right? Because trust is something that has to grow over years, but a lot of times when you're working together and all times, really, you just have to jump in and know, like, hey, I've got your back. You've got mine. Let's work through this. And the same thing with our student athletes. But I think a lot of it goes back to that initial, those initial meeting periods of, you know, the first contact, the first phone call, the first on-campus visit, whatever it is, that gut feeling that you get with someone and kind of going with that gut feeling. Sometimes it may be that, ooh, your gut is, hey, maybe this isn't the right fit. And what I've learned over the years is to not ignore that feeling. Even if someone's really talented, if they're not a good fit for me, our staff, or the university, it's likely not going to work out. But on the other hand, if that gut feeling's there, like, oh my gosh, like initially just checking that box right away of, this is going to work out really well. All the other stuff just kind of falls into place after that.
It's good to hear you hear that, because I don't hear a lot of coaches talk about that gut instinct. They say things like fit the culture and, you know, first impression is really important, but I guess going with your gut, cause you never know how these kids are going to develop from freshman year to senior year, even if they take a redshirt year. So let me ask this, and I'm totally curious, because what advice do you have to the high school coach or even the athletes themselves as they're trying to be recruited? Like, how can they make themselves stand out and even give you, Michigan State, a place they want to go, you know, give them the best chance to even be in a position to give that first impression?
Sure. Well, I really am methodical when it comes down to the beginning of trying to find someone or, you know, build a team. And so, but at the end of, you know, at the end of the day, you do have to kind of rely on the non weighable things, especially when it comes down to creating a space for someone on your team, offering someone some aid, creating a space for someone on your staff, you know, varying levels of salary, all those things. And you might have a great list of your pros and cons, or that has a ton of pros and cons for two different people. But at the end of the day, what's going to be that, you know, the deal breaker? And for me, it is kind of that gut feeling. And I go back to when Coach Strength was here, and just something as simple as, hey, you know, debating between a certain workout to do. And I would just always ask him, well, what does your gut say? Because you've been doing this for 30 years. So that's got to count for something, right? And just sort of relying on that. But as far as student athletes get here initially, I mean, certainly, you know, just like any coach out there, we're looking for certain performances. But I really like to look for competitiveness, especially relative to where they are. So whether they're a D4, D3, D2, D1, they're on the transfer portal, whatever it is, how competitive are they relative to their current situation? So maybe their time won't be as fast as someone else, but they're still standing out competitively as one of the top individuals, you know, relative to where they are. And certainly in the distance events, I think you can look at it like that a lot, especially because it is a highly developmental part of track and field. Maybe some of the speed power, you have to dig a little more into the performance side of things. But even with, you know, our assistant coaches, that's something I asked them, well, how well did they do in the state meet? Because obviously, you know, if they're running fast, jumping far, you know, jumping far, jumping high, like they still have to be able to show up when it matters. And so I want to know consistency of those marks. How many times have they hit them? How many times have they hit their secondary marks? What's their background look like? You know, are they coachable? All those types of things.
Yeah, because you don't know. I mean, you're on milesplitterathletic.net. You don't know if the sand pit was low or, you know, grandma was doing the timing. And so you sitting there watching a kid that can run, you know, a girl that can run 11.3, but in the next meet she was 12.3. It's quite a difference.
Yeah, definitely thorough. And, you know, I've got a list for our assistant coaches of like, hey, you come in asking for aid. Here's what I'm going to want to know. So please make sure before we even have this dialogue that you've checked these boxes so we can have, you know, a conversation about, you know, how to move forward. And the same for, you know, distance runners on type of aid.
Sell me on Michigan State. I mean, you bleed green. This is your thing through and through. One of my best friends in the world, he went to Michigan State. He lives out here. He even has a tattoo on his arm of, you know, the Spartan. Yeah. Like it's that big of a deal. Sell me on Michigan State. What makes Michigan State so special? What makes your program also so special?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's the people at the end of the day. The people are going to make your experience. Of course, the academics are going to be a huge part of your journey. We offer every single major here, minus architecture and pharmacy. However, if you're in, you know, if a PSA is interested in those, we have routes to getting there. Travel all across the country. I've been to other countries and people yell, go green. It's a well-recognized brand. So from a monetary and a career stability standpoint, like it's a great investment in someone's future. But as far as an athletic experience goes, I mean, I think we offer a platform for greatness here. I think we've got every support system in place that someone could need to be successful, right? From our sports medicine to our administrative support to our facility support. Like we've got everything in place that a student athlete would need. So when I'm talking with recruits, I tell them this, you know, and most of the time, every other place that they're looking at is going to have that platform, is going to have, you know, other bells and whistles, for lack of a better term. But you have to be surrounded by people who want you to be great and that believe in a team setting to get you there. So if you're interested in being the number one and not caring about the rest of your team, then MSU is not the place for you. If you want to have a great team experience and understand that those individual accolades are going to come and you want to do it in a supportive and really fun environment, this is going to be the place to do it. We've won a national championship in 2014. I was a part of the staff when we did that. I 100% believe we're going to do that again. And we just have to find the people that believe in our model, our culture. And then basically what I ask is like, do you want to help us do that? You know, and then we go from there. Some people are afraid of it, right? Some people are like, no, that, you know, cause we talk about the work necessary and the mindset, and some people don't want that, or they want to go be a big fish in a small pond and have a different type of experience, right? So I think bringing up things like that of like, hey, we've got the support for you to be successful. Our goals are big. It pushes people right away to say, hey, I'm either interested in that or I'm not. So it kind of weeds people out right away. And it's genuine. Like, that's what I want to do here. And I really do believe we have the platform to do it in a way that not many other places are anymore. You know, you look at the top 10 programs, even the top 20 programs in the NCAA and cross, and like, there's a whole lot of different ways to get things done. And I still want to be state-based, Midwest-based. I don't want to build a team off the portal. I want to do it a very specific way because I think it will be just super meaningful when we do have that type of success again.
Do you often get emails from coaches and athletes explaining who they are and what they're about?
What do you mean?
Like if they're trying to get recruited, like let's say I'm trying to send you I'm just a coach in Southern California, but I have a kid that just is diehard Michigan State.
Oh yeah.
And I
yeah,
send you an email. Do college coaches get a lot of those?
We do get a lot of emails. Yeah. From PSAs and coaches and yeah, I mean, it's great. I think keep sending them, you know, like, especially when it's someone that's not typically going to fall within our radar of how we traditionally recruit. If there is a connection outside of the Midwest, that makes it even stronger. If there's an interest there already, certainly, like, I think that's huge.
That's good. It's good to hear. Now, you were an athlete and you were a good athlete at Michigan State. And then you became, correct me if I'm wrong, it was the early, it was like 2013, 14, you became on staff.
I was solid here. And then I came on staff in 2010, 2011.
Okay. So yeah. I guess my question is, you've definitely had an opportunity to see, well, that's what my coach did. And mm-hmm. that may have worked with a different generation of athlete. What do you do now that's maybe different with the type of kid that you're getting? And also just for your own, I don't know, evolution as a coach, what are you looking at things that you do now that you were not doing in 2010 or even having done, you know, for you when they were coaching you?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And it's, first of all, like, I think just being open to being my own person, right? Like, Walt's amazing. I think I've had to come to terms with, like, I can't be Walt Trent. Like, I'm just not, that's not possible. It'd be a little weird if I did become Walt Trent. So I'm going to be my own person. And I think he and I have a lot of similarities in how we approach athletes, and certainly it makes sense since he was my coach and I worked here forever with him. So there's a lot of that still there. I think that as we, you know, as evolution happens, you're getting different types of student athletes. I think just the messaging maybe is, the message is the same, but the delivery is a little bit different. So I can't give you like a super concrete example other than I remind our student athletes all the time that, hey, yeah, you have all this platform here, you know, you have all these resources, but at the end of the day, those resources are not going to be the things that make you great. You're the only one that's going to get you there, you know, by utilizing everything around you. And I think that's a very, you know, Walt Drent sort of mindset of that ownership component and challenging them like, hey, Morgan Beetlescombe, during his time here, he didn't have everything that our student athletes have now, but he still managed to run 3:52 in the mile, right? Training on a 200 meter flat track, Jennison Fieldhouse. Like, it's not, you know, the Taj Mahal of indoor tracks, but it gets the job done. Leah O'Connor, she won an indoor national title in the mile, ran 4:27, never broke 5 minutes in high school. And she did it, you know, with way less than our current student athletes have now. So I think, again, it's kind of like the same philosophies are there, building that relationship, developing it, but realizing that the way I deliver, it's going to be different than, you know, Coach Strength did, because we're different people.
Yeah. We actually had Morgan on the podcast, back in February, and him and his beautiful mustache, that guy's still Michigan State through and through. And it's so cool to see that alumni, it's that important. I mean, how much you as the director of track and field and cross country lean into alumni? Is that just something you wait for them to do? Or is that something that you are going to be actively involved in making sure that they're still part of what's going on?
Yeah, I think that it's an active ongoing process, right? Like, we were just at convention, as you know, and we've got a bunch of our former student athletes out in Denver and Boulder. So just made a connection, got coffee with Lindsey Graham, had dinner with Kerrigan Smith and Bridget Blake, and Coach Simino, Aaron, our men's distance assistant, was there too. So just always, you know, if you're somewhere where there are alum, reaching out. We're also starting more just general track and field alumni events. It's not something that we used to do yearly. And now we've just started a simple tailgate in the fall where, you know, no matter the year, hey, come and celebrate our identity together. Let's get to know one another. this actually coming up 2024 will be the 10-year anniversary of the 2014 NCAA win. So we're going to have a little bit of a celebration for that group this fall as well.
That's awesome. Now let's end with this. What does the future look like at Michigan State for track and field and cross country?
Yeah. So that was like probably the hardest question on, you know, the agenda that you sent to me. And it's not something I spend a lot of time thinking about, of like the legacy or any of that. But, you know, I think continuing to build teams that we're proud of and doing it in a way that we feel really good about, just a super supportive environment where the fit is there, with now the change in the Big Ten, you know, with some new teams joining. I think if you're finishing, it sounds crazy, but if you're finishing in the top half of our conference, you've got a very competitive track and field team. And certainly if you're finishing in the top eight as an individual, kind of in any event now, and we'll see how it plays out, you're definitely one of the top people in the nation, right? And so that would be my goal. Let's have teams that can be competitive and be in the top half. I think if you get the right people in the room together, I think our women can vie for a Big Ten track and field title one day. The last time we won one was in 2015. So yeah, it was the same year we won a national title in cross. I think there's certainly an element of being good where you can be good, right? And for us, it's typically distance throws and some jumps and the sprints certainly, but you got to look at the developmental piece. And so I think as far as anything beyond that, I'll just be, you know, super pumped to be here and continue to build what Coach Strength built. And if we ever get a new indoor track, I would advocate to name it after him or Jim Bibbs. If we get a designated cross country course, that'll make it even easier because then we can have that be the Walt Drenth cross country course and then the Jim Bibbs indoor track and field facility. So that would probably be the biggest thing. And I think just, you know, being in a space where, you know, we can have our sport be more identifiable to the, you know, the rest of the population, of having an interest in watching track and field and cross country and making it more viewable. So that's my hope as far as impacting the sport, of like, how can we make this more viewable and easier to access for sure.
I love it. Well, just looking at your bio that I wrote down, I mean, 2015, you're the assistant coach of the year, 2019, assistant coach of the year for the Great Lakes region. And then 2020, coach of the year for the Big Ten, 2022, coach of the year again for the Big Ten. I can just see this pattern of every 2 years or 3 years, you're building up these freshmen to something. And it's really cool to see that. And so if I can affirm you with anything, especially from someone on the outside, you're doing it right and you're doing it well. And, you know, with that in mind, where can we all follow and continue to be fans of what MSU is doing? Social media, your website's great, but where else can we follow these things?
Yeah. So like, we definitely are on Instagram. I believe it's MSU TFXC, and same with X, former Twitter. We're on there as well. And I think those are the most accessible places to follow us. Just to give them a little shout out, our sports information, our social media team, our Spartan Vision are phenomenal. So I'm really proud of the work they're doing and the people that are doing the work in those areas.
Yeah, I wish more schools had better of that, because talk about a new generation. Kids need to communicate and they want to be fans of things. So let's give them the opportunity to.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't want to keep you too long because you are too busy and probably trying to dig yourself out of the snow where you live. And I want to make sure that we all continue to follow your success. You're doing a great job. I'm so glad you and I were able to connect, and we'd love to have you on again sometime soon. Maybe actually the next time you get coach of the year. Seems to be happening every 2 years. So without further ado, on trackandfield.com and relaybatons.com. In fact, Steve, our CEO, is just going to send Coach Bresnaw a, hopefully with the logo of this little, you know, Sparty the Spartan on top of it, kind of like a little gift. And Relay Batons will you know, engrave that thing on there. It's pretty cool. So Steve, you and your sexy voice, why don't you just take us away and let us know how to get in contact with the two great companies that you follow.
Thanks for joining us on this week's On Track and Field podcast with guest Coach Lisa Bresna. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com. Custom engraved meat and competition legal relay batons, water bottles and tumblers. Great for team branding, fundraisers, meat awards and coaches gifts. And by OnTrackAndField.com. Cross country and track's one-stop source for everything you need for a successful season. Competition gear, spikes, training equipment and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need, including our new pole vault and high jump landing systems, designed by jumpers for jumpers. Check them out online or give us a call for a free quote. And make sure to check out our new website, OnTrackRunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes, featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. OnTrackRunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials at OnTrack, the letter N, Field, at OnTrack and Field on Twitter and Instagram.